Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Taste and see the Lord is good. We need to understand the goodness of God. We need to be hungry for more of God on a day-to-day basis. And my purpose today, my purpose as a minister, as a preacher, is to make you hungry. To create in you a hunger, a desire for more of God today. To make you hungry. That's my purpose. Hungry for more than just the necessary measurements that the church has presented to the basic requirements as the basic requirement for being a Christian. Now that was something that the Holy Spirit gave me as I was preparing this message. Hungry for more than just the necessary requirements that the church has presented as the basic requirements for being a Christian. Many churches, many preachers have presented the basics. Oh, you're saved, that's all, don't worry about it. No, you're saved for what? For more. For being hungry for more. Now, I know it's difficult when you talk about being hungry to get you hungry unless I have something visual aids to help you be hungry. So today I have some visual aids that might help you be hungry. And, you know, it requires a fork and a napkin. Oh, and it requires something that will make you hungry. Ooh-wee. Look at that. Look at that. Man, you just look down there at just that. The American dish, that apple dumpling. Ooh. Don't that one make you smack your lips, huh? That just hungry. That just makes you hungry. Look at that. Wow, look at that. All of that cinnamon and that. Oh, that. Ooh, man. I could stop preaching and start eating. But then you say, well, I'm not really much into apples. Okay. We got one of the world famous, most delicious chocolate pies you've ever tasted in your mouth. It just, you taste and it tastes like more. Anybody know what more tastes like? It just tastes like more. And it'll just, oh, you're just going to drool over that. You know, when you have a chocolate pie like that, and you eat a couple slices of it, and then you put it in the fridge, and you know, you eat that after supper, and then you go to bed, and you're laying there in bed. And you think about that chocolate pie sitting in that refrigerator all by itself, just chilling. And then you have a thought that, well maybe my wife might get up middle of the night and take a bite of that. Or my husband, and you just have to get up and check on it about 1 a.m. And you just have to have another slice of that. I mean, this is not just your typical, this is homemade by a top chef. I mean, all of it. I picked out 3 top chefs to make these dishes. I mean, this apple pie is made by one of the best chefs that they make. This pie, and then we move over to this butterscotch pie. And I didn't even get an amen. Oh, you just got, I knew you. I didn't have a coconut cream either, but anyway, this butterscotch, you know, I've got proof that it is just spoon licking good. I mean, when it is made up, you wait around for the spoons, and fathers and sons fight over the spoon and the pan just to eat up every bit of this pie. So I want you to kind of focus on the pie a little bit, but listen to me, because I want to make you hungry. Am I doing a very good job? All right. But I want to make you hungry. Hungry for a move of God that will radically change you from being passive and still. Because I'm sorry, but I have to honestly say most churches and most Christians are just kind of passive and stale. How many like stale bread, stale crackers? That's one of the worst things, the stale cracker. I just can't stand the stale cracker. I'm basically giving up on crackers altogether. But I just don't like it stale. You know, I see what's happening in a lot of church, a lot of people that get born again, get saved, and they start the race. And they can still look behind them and see the finish line or the starting line. They haven't gotten very far. And we've got to get hungry for a move of God. It's time that we begin to do that. You know, the song that we just got through singing, I had the praise team do that. Done a great job, guys. Appreciate that. That's an old song in the 90s that Rodney Howard Brown, would all of his meetings, they would sing. It was in every service. I'm hungry for a move of God. And there were such great outpourings in those meetings because we were hungry. In the 90s, this was a popular song that was sung. And while we were singing that song, we said this part of this verse that it said that, move mightily inside of me. Move mightily inside of me. You know, that was in part of the verse. But, you know, what I really sense and feel, most Christians, that ain't what they really mean. They sing the song, Lord, move mightily in the young people, in the youth. Come on, Lord, we want the young people on fire. Move mightily in them. Leave me alone, but move in them. And we pick on and we degrade our young people because we don't see them on fire. Well, when they see you on fire, they'll get on fire. Or we say, Lord, move mightily in our pastor. Let him have some zeal and fire that he just burns with passion. But leave me alone. Or, Lord, in this or in that or in the worship team. Come on, Lord, get some. Let the move of God move in them. Move mightily in them. But don't move mightily in me. Don't move mightily in me. Because see, what will happen if the Holy Ghost and the Lord begins to move mightily inside of you, you might be standing down on the street and saying, come on, Troy, let me preach. Give me that mic. Way to go. I'll stand with you. I do stand with you and support you. You know, we have different ways of expressing our Christianity. It don't cut it. You're either a Christian or you're not, and you're on fire or you're not. You want more or you don't. It's time that we want more. And the Lord laid this on my heart several weeks ago. And I thought, oh, that's going to be a nice little sermon. And the Lord kept changing things. But move mightily. And the Lord spoke to me. This is exactly what the church needs for revival. You don't need a preacher to come in. You don't need a healing service. You don't need smoke and all of this. What you need is a move of God upon you. Upon you. I need a move of God upon me that will change me, that will put a fire inside of me, that it has to come out. Well, if I had a platform to preach at, well, I believe that was a street corner. It looked like a pretty good platform. Amen? We need it for revival, but more important, what the Lord began to speak to me. is what we need to survive and flourish in the difficult times. Do not think what's happening in Israel is not going to affect you. Because what we're seeing happening is part of the end days, the end times. And Pastor's got some stuff he's working on, and Sean's working on some stuff with Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is lining up. Things are lining up. Many people have always said, man, I'd like to have lived in Bible days. Guess what? You're living in Bible days. You're living in some of the greatest things ever. And we have to understand as a church that we want more of God, not less of God. We want more of God to move mightily inside of each and every one of us, that we can begin to experience the fullness of what God's had. If you're like me, you said that I'm not really hungry until I saw what was being offered. You ever been that way? Anybody, your wife said, are you hungry? Oh, not really. Well, I had some baked lasagna. Oh, I didn't know you had baked lasagna. Maybe I'm getting a little hungry. Or maybe, I didn't know you had this. You go to someone's house and they say, are you hungry? You want something? No, I'm good. Well, I just got all this country ham. Country ham? Wait a minute. Maybe I am hungry. You know? So sometimes, if physical hunger is a set of feelings that leads people to search for food. See, when you get hungry in the middle of the night, you go searching. You go looking for something. I'm sitting in a chair and I get hungry. I go getting up and go looking, and I look for the snacks. And, you know, all these people out there talk about candy corn is the worst candy out in the world. Nobody ever eats it. But I tell you what, I haven't seen anybody yet walk past a bowl of candy corn and peanuts all mixed together. I mean, whoo, what are you talking about? I'm hungry for that. I know it's sitting in there. I got to get up and go that way. My wife tells me all the time, you can't walk past that dish, can you, without getting something. That's what it's there for. You know, enticing me. She said, but I don't get none. Well, she's just not as hungry as I am for it. That's something. That's kind of like the move of God. Some people are getting it and others are not. And you say, well, I went to the same church. I went to the same service and the same Holy Spirit visited. But how come you got something I didn't? You wasn't as hungry as I was. Amen? It's time to be hungry. It's time to be hungry for God. That as we search for food, then the spiritual hunger is a set of experiences and longing that compels people to search God for God and more of Him. Just as our body needs spiritual food for survival, our spirit needs God for survival. So, we're going to talk a little bit. So, today, my first pie represents. Let's check this out. Oh, man. That's a heavy pie. It's got everything in there. Now, I know your eyesight is not like it used to be. How's your smell? Ooh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Don't you smell it from over there? I ain't going over there. She's probably got a spoon in her pocket like me. Look at that. Isn't that good chocolate pie? Man, how many would like to have a bite of that about right now? Oh, there's some honest people in here. Yeah, they like to have a bite of it. You got a fork? Nope. I got fingers. But, you know, I was thinking about this chocolate pie coming as I was, oh, caught it. Boy, somebody said, boy, there went my chocolate pie. But, you know, it taste and see the Lord is good. You know, it reminded me of salvation. You know, we don't even know that we need salvation. It's like we don't know we're hungry. You ever get working and work and work, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I work through lunch. You work with Bert, you're going to work through lunch. Or me, you're going to work through lunch. We just get working. And then all of a sudden we finish and say, wow, I'm hungry. You know, salvation is the same thing. Many of us don't know we need salvation. You know, Troy heard on the street, I don't need that, Jesus. I don't need that. Well, they're lost. And they're going to hell. Because that's what the Word says. That's not what the Apostle says. That's what the Word says. The only way to go to heaven is salvation. And so, you know, when we receive salvation, we're tasting and see that the Lord is good. But you know, if I took that chocolate pie and I cut out big slices for people, but when you come along, I just gave you a taste. Just one taste. And I already told you it tastes like more. You know what more tastes like. You want it all. But salvation is more than getting saved. It's more than fire insurance. It's more than just, okay, I got my ticket to go to heaven. No, salvation is more. We got to walk in more. We got to learn more. You know, the knowledge of salvation. What is the knowledge of salvation that you have? You know, many cannot stand in the street and preach like Troy does because they have no knowledge of the salvation. They just know you need to be saved. But what's the knowledge of salvation? It's more than just an experience of one time of asking God's forgiveness of sins. Sin is not an ideal or perception. It is real. Sin is real. And we fall into sin daily. Some not knowingly, some knowingly. But it's in our nature. And it brings in death and every problem in our life. That's what sin does. It does. Come on, you can shout. Forgiveness must be experienced. You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, all the way down into the end of the book, in verses 77 of Luke 1, it says, "You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of sins." Now, this was spoken over John the Baptist. It says, "You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of sin." Well, you know, we do that. But we leave it at that many times. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. And when I read that phrase, the Lord said, underline that. He said, because the morning star of heaven is about to break upon the church. It's about to break upon my people. And you need to understand what I'm talking about. We are living in the last days. Because it says, to break us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us from the path, or us to the path of peace. It says, John grew up, became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry in Israel. But this is speaking of John, what he was to do. And then I'm going to jump to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, that you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things that we've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So the basics of salvation is grace. Acts 15:2 said, we believe that we are all saved the same way. We're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace that the Lord Jesus, by the undeserved grace, by the Lord Jesus. That's what you're saying. You know, salvation is undeserved. Ain't none of you deserve my pie today. Yeah. Well, we'll just go on. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. You know, salvation, only thing you did was realize you need a Savior. That was your greatest part, to come to a realization, my life hasn't been going very good. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know where I'll be when the Lord comes back. And you know, I heard of Jesus and I heard of salvation, that I heard that he was the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins. I heard that he was raised from the grave and that he sits in heaven. And he's the only person that's ever went to a cross with me on his mind. He's the only person that's ever raised out of the grave after 3 days. He's the only person that has ascended, well, except for Enoch, but he's ascended to heaven after death. But we're saved through the power of God. Amen? It is a gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him shall be saved. So do you believe today in just the simple basics of salvation? The second thing these verses share with us is that the instrument of salvation is faith. By faith. Luke 7:50. And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your faith. Your faith that you believed. It's as simple as A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and confess your sins, and you shall be saved. So, you know, Romans 3:28, so you are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. So why are you talking so much about salvation, Pastor? We're saved. And I believe that just about most people in here that I know are saved. There may be some that are not. But you need to know about salvation. Because it's the greatest truth that you'll learn today. Whether you receive it or not, it's biblical. It's the greatest truth you'll ever learn is salvation. But the basic things. That's how you're made right with God, through faith. Do you have faith to believe? Praise the Lord. The result of salvation is good works. It's not good works is it results in salvation. The result of salvation is good works. And that's what the scripture teaches. So I did not say salvation through good works. I said the result of salvation will produce good works. Amen? The confidence of salvation is that when what God has started, he will finish. See, that's even why we stand with Israel. What God has started, he'll finish. Amen? Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." That's powerful. That's powerful. So, you know, I shared about salvation with people that are saved, that you need more understanding of salvation. You need to understand that you were lost and a sinner, and without Jesus, there was no hope. And people don't like to hear that message, but it's the truth. It's backed up in Scripture. But we need, as individuals, to make sure on a day-to-day basis that our salvation is secured, that we're living right, that it changed us. See, salvation starts with repentance. Repentance means turn away from. Go and do no more. See, that's the knowledge of salvation. So you got to be hungry for more knowledge of salvation. What is it saying? It says that I have to live different. Not just on Sunday, but live different. So the Move on to the second pie. The second pie. I think it's just right here. Big heavy dish. Oh, man, this has got to be good. I'm going to just hold it up here and preach. We had went to a party one time. And it was one of those Christmas parties where you get a gift, and then the next person has a chance when their name's drawn or their numbers, they can either steal your gift or go pick another gift. Anybody, y'all like that game? A lot of you don't like that game. I love the game, especially if I got somebody I know doesn't like it, because they get what they want, and you just, I'm going to take that, not because I want it, because it's going to get you a little bit. So anyway, we had this game, and somebody brought in a great big cake, decorated. It was beautiful. And this might gross out some of you, but I'm going to just tell you the story. And so everybody said, "You're not going to keep that. That is not going home with you." And he had that cake, and he goes, nobody took his cake. He took his cake home. Which pie or which apple dumpling do I want to take home? Gotta love Andy. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But he took it home. But the Holy Spirit, that smells too good up there. Woo! Miss Tina, what'd you put in that? Woo! Oh, now I gave the secret away. Now everybody says, "I want that." It's going to represent the Holy Spirit. I mean, because when you take a bite of that, you're going to want more and more and more. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you only want more. You want more of the Holy Ghost. Move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. You know, in John 14, 16, and 17, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate," or in the other translation says, "another helper, who will never leave you." Why do you need the Holy Spirit? He will never, ever leave you. He'll be with you. He will guide you. It says, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truths." Why are people afraid of the Holy Spirit? I have no idea. Because it's going to lead you into all truths. It's going to guide and direct you every day. The world cannot receive him. Did you know that? That's what the Word of God says. Talking about the Holy Spirit, it says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. Now, this is Jesus saying these words, and he's saying it to his disciples. And he says to them, "But you know him because he lives with you." Now, the Holy Spirit, we thought it was Jesus living with them. But he says, "I will pray the Father and he will send you another." Another means one like me. One like me. That is living with you today. And later will be in you. Amen? So you just need to read John 14, 16, and 17. But he lives with you until you receive him, and he'll live in you. See, many people are satisfied and comfortable that he's just living with them. But he wants to be in you. Amen? He wants to be in you. It was, you know, the day that I was saved. I remember that day. I remember that night. I remember everything about it. And how many have that experience? You remember the day, the moment when you got saved? Well, you should. If you say, well, I don't know if I got the Holy Spirit or not, you should remember the day that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, just like the day you got saved. It's a different experience. See, some people teach and believe, well, when I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. He was with you, but he didn't fill you. It's a different experience. Amen? John 15, 26, but I will send you the Advocate, the Holy Spirit of truth, and he will come from the Father and will testify all about me. John 16, 6 and 7, instead, you grieve because what I've told you. Now see, Jesus had told the disciples that he was going away. That he was going to be crucified, died, rise, go to heaven. He was going away. And then he looked at their faces and he says, instead, you grieve because of what I told you. But in fact, this is Jesus speaking. We got to get this. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Now, when you got a good thing, and you got a good pie, it ain't best for the wife to hide it. I mean, you don't want to take it and stick it away or give it to the neighbor, you know. It's a good thing, but Jesus says, you grieve for it, but in fact, it is best that I go away. See, it's best if you don't eat this pie because of the calories. So I'm giving you a way out today. But Jesus says, because if I didn't, the Advocate won't come. And if I do go away, I will send him to you. So Jesus says, I don't want you to be helpless. I don't want you to be without me. And I don't want you to be without a helper, an Advocate. So what is an Advocate? He's the one that intercedes on your behalf. He's the one that gets things done that you can't get done. He is that power inside of you that when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. Things begin to get better. Things start happening over here that you say, wow, that happened. Well, I just praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is so, and a lot of people struggle with receiving the Holy Spirit. But how many struggled receiving salvation when they prayed a simple prayer, asked Jesus to come into their heart, cleanse them of their sin? How many believed that they were saved when they did that? Amen? It was faith. The Bible says, how many of you are of a father, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a stone? Well, you wouldn't do that. And the scripture says, if an earthly man knows how to give good gifts to his children who ask, how much more will the heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask? So when you ask, Father, I ask you for the Holy Spirit that you will come into my life, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and give me the evidence of speaking in tongues, and shibakariyata roboku makayata. It just flows out. Now what happens is the mind takes over. Don't talk like that rubbish. That's baby talk. You don't even know what you said. I'm glad I don't. But he does. And it is simple. And there are preachers out there that tell you, if you pray for that, then you'll get a language and you'll curse God. That ain't what you asked for. You asked for the Holy Spirit. And he'll fill you. It is simple. It is easy. And the best place to get it is most of the time is in privacy of your own home. Because there's nobody listening to your rubbish except you and God. And if you pray that prayer at home, you don't have to have a preacher to pray it. You pray, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. I ask the Holy Spirit to come in me, fill me, give me evidence. And the next thing you know, you're going to have all these, it looks like your brain shorted out. It's got all these, you don't, blah, 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 blah. I couldn't say what I wanted to say. Sister Becky and them prayed with a lady one time in the basement of our church. And they prayed for the Holy Spirit to come up on her. And she prayed and she wouldn't say nothing. And finally, she went to open her mouth to tell them and that she didn't get it. And she spoke in tongues. And so she stopped, and then she went to tell them something else. She spoke in tongues. She could not stop from speaking in tongues. She kept on over and over, and this went on for like an hour. They were cracked up laughing because she was trying to speak to them and trying to tell them what was going on. But the Holy Spirit, every time she opened her mouth, it just came out. Her wires got shorted out, and they just stayed in that mode for a while. Some of us need to get our wires shorted out a little bit. Amen? I tell you what. Anytime you feel like complaining to God, pray in the Holy Ghost. Because he'll work and he'll change stuff. But everybody can be filled. Everybody can be filled. And I'll share this experience even with me. When I first, they prayed for me. I prayed that prayer. I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. And I kept thinking of something. And I thought, nah, that can't be it. That can't be it. Don't sound like the preacher. Don't sound like this one. It don't sound like that one. But on Sunday, I was in church and I was worshiping God. And I mean, I was just worshiping God, just minding my own business. You know, just thanking the Lord. Lord, I just praise you. I thank you. Shibahadi. Yep. What was that? And the next week, I came back to church and the same thing happened. And I stopped again. But the third week, I thought, well, if it happens this time, I'm going to let her go. And I've been letting her go ever since. And the devil's always told me, that ain't God. You don't really have it. I just laugh and do it more. Amen? Because if he's, and he keeps on. And if he keeps on telling you something that you don't have, you know you got it. Because if he knew you didn't have it, he'd just keep his mouth shut and let you be in darkness. So if he's fighting you, you know you've got it. The Lord wants to do something in your lives. He really, really wants to do something in all of our lives at this time. Things are about to change in the world. And it's time for the church to rise up. Because what we've seen happening and what Pastor just alluded to about happening here in America, that people are haters of Israel. They're haters of Israel. And like he said, if they hate Israel, they hate you. And these wars and these things that are happening, we're living in the last days. Things are going to escalate. Now, you're going to either be a passive stale Christian and say, I'm going to keep my head down, my mouth shut, and stay inside, and I won't, you know, I'll make it. No, you won't make it. You may get by, but you're not going to flourish. When persecution comes, the church, or should I say, the strong spirit-filled believer flourishes. You're on the verge of flourishing. If you'll just get more of God, you'll just get hungry for God. So my third pie, the world famous. No. Ow. And the pastor is praying, don't drop that one. Butterscotch pie. Mmm. Look at there. There's a little bitty crack in that meringue. You can see that butterscotch down in there. You know, man, this smells good too. Hands down, boy. Hands down. Just take a sniff. Woo! Woo! I like to call him when we have one at the house. Especially, I like to take a picture and show him I only have one. I need to do that when I got work to do. Because it's not long, he's over. But what would that represent? And I was thinking about it and praying about it. And I felt like this third pie represents the gifts. The gifts. Do you know every one of you have gifts? And I, all the time people say, I don't have any gifts. You do. You have spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it's now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. And I like the King James Version. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There's so many people that are just ignorant of the gifts of God. And you know, and this is very interesting because this is the first verse in 1 Corinthians 12, 1. But if you read all of 12 and you read all of 13 and you read all of 14, when you get to verse 36, he says, but if a man wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So this is one sermon, three chapters. Paul's teaching. But what people like to do is pick out little things in those and try to discredit the gifts. But it says in 12:4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Different kinds of service or different kinds of ministries, diversity of activities. And 12:7 through 11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. Distributing to each one as he wills. First of all, if you want gifts of God, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you pray actively in the Holy Spirit will begin to fill your life with gifts. And you will have these gifts. And these gifts, it says, that they are profitable for all. So your gift is not given to you to hide, but to use to manifest the glory and the kingdom of God. And we're going to need these gifts in these last days. Because the Holy Spirit is distributing each one individually as he wills. And verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles. Did that say he appointed these in the church? Miracles? And gifts of healing? Helps? Administrations? Varieties of tongues? These are gifts that God wants in the church. Amen? He wants to manifest these in the church. The gift of healing. Amen? Stand up. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we take authority over this infirmity. Lord, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I loose divine healing right now to her body. This issue is healed just like it did for the woman in the chapter, Lord, we read. And Lord, I thank you. She's healed right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The manifestation of healing. It's God. These are gifts that are to manifest in the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What gifts do you have? What gifts do you have? And I don't want you to conjure up something. What gifts do you have? You have gifts. Everyone has gifts. None of you were left out. Somebody say, praise God. You weren't left out. You might not use it, but you've got it. I got a lot of tools in my shop, and some of them I never use, but I can't get rid of it because I might one day. Amen? Come on, James. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But what are the gifts God wants used in the church? So we're living in a day that God says, get hungry. Get hungry for me. Get hungry for salvation. But get hungry for the knowledge of salvation. Just because you're saved don't mean you've got it all. See, when you get hungry for the knowledge of salvation, then you can answer questions because you know. It's not by works. It's by grace. You know, you need to know that. You know, when people ask you the simple question, how you know you're going to heaven? How you know you're going to heaven? Well, Apostle Freddie prayed with me. Wrong answer. Well, I go to church at least 40 times a year. A lot of people feel like they're a strong Christian if they go that many times. No, wrong answer. How do you know you're going to heaven? Somebody tell me. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for the remission of my sins. That's how I know that I'm going to heaven. See, you don't have to get saved week after week after week. You get saved one time, and then you have to repent week after week after week. See, you're confused because you don't understand the knowledge of it. When you understand the knowledge, I'm saved by the blood. He died once on the cross for my sins, so I'm saved. I'm born again, but I'm a wretched sinner. So repent and turn away from it. That's what we need to do. Get knowledge of it. The Holy Ghost. Oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost a long time ago. Act like it. Speak in tongues. You know, several years ago, back in a bunch of years ago, I was pastoring. Pastor Bob took a group and went to Korea, to Dr. Cho's church. And I had an opportunity. I could have done that. And, of course, you know, it was too much money, too much going on, too many excuses, okay? So I didn't go. Kevin McKnight went on that, and he was sharing an experience. And he said, when Dr. Cho said, I want everybody to pray in tongues. Well, if I said that right now, if I said I want everybody to pray in tongues right now, I'd have to strain to hear. Even though majority of you, I know, prays in tongues. But I would still have to strain to hear because, well, I don't want to pray out loud. I don't want people to know my language. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But he said when they said that, he said a million voices began to sound at the top of their lungs. And he said that the overwhelming experience was like nothing he had ever experienced in his life. Like nothing he had ever experienced in his life. He said the roar, the sound, he said your body trembled when the Holy Ghost. See, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is present. And that's why we say, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. especially when we're doing praying for people and miracles, signs, and wonders, because the presence of the Holy Spirit shows up every time you pray in tongues. Every time you pray in tongues, He shows up. He's not on vacation this week. He's not off duty already. He shows up. I know it's 3 minutes after. He didn't quit at 12. He's still here. But you know, I wanted these to, you know, just as an illustration, these pies, something that you can look at and you can be hungry for. I just want you to taste and see. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this butterscotch pie, just so I don't get on the bad side. And I'm going to give this to the pastor. It is Pastor Appreciation Month. So I'm going to give this to the pastor. This is your pie. That's Mom's dish. And you can do, and she was complaining about dishes the other day, daughter. So she's looking for some. But for refill. Now, these other pies, or the desserts, they are awesome. And they're just too much for one man to enjoy. Plus, some of you might have some thoughts about me if I just kept them and enjoyed them myself. So I'm going to ask Jamie to take them out and set them out there on tables and go get a bunch of spoons. And I want you to walk by and taste and see. Now, it might make you mad if all you're going to get is one taste. But don't be greedy. Don't double dip with your fork. He'll have a fork or spoon, and you can take a dip and take a taste. That's fair the way to do it. Don't leave yet. There's some of you already wanting to be first in line. So I'll be the last one out of here. I hope there's a bite of apple left or chocolate. I'll be honest. Chocolate pie is great. It's not my favorite, but the guy that makes them, this comes from the Lewis. I've never heard someone say, everyone that ever tastes that, that's the best chocolate pie I ever eaten in my life. And it's a shame. I just don't like it. Chocolate pie. I love chocolate, but I don't know what it is. But anyway, what I want you to be hungry for, more of God. Hungry for more God. Ask God to move mightily inside of you. Because I think it's important. I think it's needed for the days that we're getting ready to step into. It's not a time for the church to be passive. It's not a time for you to be a stale Christian. It's a time to be hungry for God. And if you're not saved, know that you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because that's the only hope, and that's our desire for you to get saved. You know, one thing I like about this church, we don't record numbers to see and go to church conventions and say, oh, we had 12 people saved this week. If one saved, I'm thrilled. Because that's one snatched out of the pit of hell. And when they share their testimony, somebody else and somebody else. But salvation, but get knowledge of salvation. Because in the days ahead, the enemy's going to tell you, you're not saved. You got to know that you know that you know. And then pray and seek the Holy Spirit. Pray and seek the Holy Spirit. And if you're struggling with the Holy Spirit, I want you to set up a time with me or with Pastor or with Sister Becky. And we're going to pray for you. And we can pray for as long as it takes. And if we have to go home and come back next day, we'll do that. And if we have to go the next day, we'll do that. But it is important. It's that important that you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of the days that are coming, He's going to tell you what to do and what not to do. And you say, well, I'm filled, I'm saved, I'm good. No, get your gifts and gear. You still go to Walmart, you still go to Kroger's, you still go to Lowe's. You've got to pray for people. You've got to have the gift of healing. Everybody's got the gift of healing because it's faith. You say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Well, pray for somebody and find out. And if it don't work, that don't mean you didn't have it. It means their faith was weak. Go to somebody else and pray for somebody else. But begin to believe in miracles. Begin to let your gifts manifest. That's what the Lord wants right now. He wants for his church to rise up. What we've done, we've tasted, but we've just kind of set back. So taste and see the Lord's good. Stand with me if you can. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. Lord, Father, I preached the message you told me to preach. Lord, I pray that everyone here and everyone that was listening on Facebook, Lord, Father God, Father, I pray for their salvation. I pray that they come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they know that if they were to die today, they would spend eternity in heaven because, Lord, Father God, they believe in your Son Jesus. They believe that he died on the cross and that he rose from the grave and that he forgave sins by the shedding of his blood. Lord, I pray for everyone here to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone watching, Lord, Father God, that they would pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the evidence of speaking in tongues, Lord, Father God. And Lord, fill them right now. Fill everybody that will ask for that prayer. And Lord, Father God, I ask for everyone that would ask, Lord, show me my gifts. Show me what you want me to do. Give me gifts, Lord, Father. Fill me with your gifts. Use me for your glory and your purpose. And Lord, Father, in these end days, these last days, Lord, let me flourish, Lord, Father God. Let me flourish and be what you've called for me to be. Let the church flourish in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.